Matthew chapter 1. A couple Wednesday nights ago, I think two Wednesday nights ago, we began a study on the deity of Christ, and we focused mostly on the subject of the Trinity. And tonight we're going to continue that on. It's wonderful this time of year to be able to tie this study to the Christmas story. And so in Matthew chapter 1, if you'll find verse number 18, we will introduce our study on the deity of Christ by reading part of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, look at this, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach this message, conduct this Bible study, and thank you, Lord, that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but he's God the Son. And Lord, have that reinforced in our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Quick review. Last week we did kind of focus on the Trinity. We defined the Trinity for you, gave you, of course, scriptural support, the triune God evidenced at creation. We watched both God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in the creation process. We saw them revealed at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. We studied where we're commanded to invoke and confess all three members of the Trinity when we ourselves are baptized. And then we talked about it at the end there, and I thought it was just delightful. I love this. That all three members of the Trinity are active in calling and persuading men, women, and children of their need of salvation. And aren't you glad that God cares that much? And that, by the way, that was you. That was you. If you got saved, I promise you, God the Father was involved in that. God the Holy Spirit was involved in that. God the Son was involved in that. And to think that the triune God cares enough just about me, just about you, to set everything aside and focus all of their attention just to try to do all that they can. They won't circumvent the free will of man, but everything they can to call us, to draw us, to persuade us. And thank God for that. God certainly loves us. Now, tonight I want to continue the study on this matter of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to answer this question. Does the Bible support the idea that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but God the Son? Or here's the question in a nutshell. Is Jesus God? There was a lady that stood right back there in the foyer. I mean, I could look at the spot right now, just a few feet inside of those double doors. She sat here on a Sunday morning and heard me preached about three rows back. A lady that was coming off and on at the time, kind of visiting the church. And I said in my sermon, wasn't preaching on the deity of Christ, but I said in my sermon, you know what, folks, God, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I stopped and said this. Wasn't really in the notes, but I said, don't forget that Jesus is as much God as God the Father. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father. And then I went on preaching, and she waited till everybody was gone. She stood right back there with me and my wife in the foyer, and she said, I've never in my life heard, I didn't hear anything you said after that. All I kept thinking is, wait a minute, there's God, and then there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit, but you're telling me that Jesus is God, that the Holy Spirit is God. When you said that Jesus was as much God as God the Father, I've never heard that. That can't be true. And you know what? A lot of the verses that I'm going to share with you, you know what I did? Folks, I'm not going to argue opinions. Doesn't do any good to argue opinions. Let's just open the scriptures and let God settle the matter. And you know what I want to do tonight? I want to open the scriptures and let God settle the matter. And I know for many of you, I'm preaching to the choir, and you say, "Preacher, I already believe this." But wait a minute. If somebody challenged it, do you know the verses? Do you know how to give an answer to every man of the faith that lies in you? And so when this question comes up, you might want to jot down some references. The deity of Christ, and put that in the back of your Bible somewhere in the flyleaf. Write down some of these verses. Anybody ever questions you about Jesus being God, I'm going to tell you where it's going to become valuable. You run into Jehovah Witnesses, you better have these verses ready to go. Listen, I'm not scared when Jehovah Witnesses come to my house. I'm excited. They leave scared. I'm never scared, all right? Because you know what? I can pluck their Bible right out of their hand, even though they've tried to change it all, and I can still find enough that they missed that proves from their Bible that Jesus is God. And we'll look at some of that tonight. And so does the Bible support the idea that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but God the Son is? Preacher, is Jesus God? Well, the doctrine of the deity of Christ, let's look at several things. Number one, the doctrine of the deity of Christ is forever, will be forever tied to the miracle of the virgin birth. And this is exciting to me. I mean, how God did this is miraculous. It's amazing. It was a one-time event. Never happened before, never will happen since then. But what God did in bringing Jesus to mankind is an amazing thing, and it supports the idea of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." Why was that necessary? Why was it that the Virgin Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus? "And shall bring forth a son." And notice this, "they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is... By the way, it doesn't say there, "the Son of God with us," although the Son of God was with us. It doesn't even say God the Son is with us. It says God with us. And I love to take this portion of Scripture which says that Jesus isn't God. And why in the world did the Bible say, the angels say to Joseph, you know what, he's going to be called Emmanuel, and so we won't argue about what the interpretation is. They just went ahead and wrote it down in the Bible so that there'd be no argument. If when Jesus came, God was with us. And so we know that Jesus is God. It's tied to this. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1. And I just want to kind of step back and wonder of this. I can't tell you all the details. I can't tell you all the biological answers of exact how everything happened. But I just rejoice in the fact that, you know, my Savior was a miracle. And he came to earth the only way he could come to earth. Folks, listen to me. You know what? The Father's blood is what's passed down through generations. And you know what? If it had been a human father, it would have been tainted, sinful blood. And so you think about this in Luke chapter 1, if you read in verse number 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." And by the way, I just want to stop and say, any translation of the Bible that takes the word virgin out of this story and puts young lady, and there's a bunch of them that do it, you know what? They ought to be ashamed of themselves. What a blasphemous thing to do. They better read the last few verses of this book right here and realize that if you decide that you're going to take something out or add something, you just got your name taken out of the book of life. And so, you know, it's a dangerous thing to tamper with the Bible. No, she wasn't just a young lady. This is important. This doctrine is important. Verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at her saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now notice the wondrous explanation. "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost," and we read twice in the Matthew account, that which is conceived of her is from the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And there's the explanation of how God did it. The Holy Ghost shall, here's the phrase, come upon thee. Notice this. This is so neat. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. You know, I talked about the Trinity being involved and the mention in the Bible of the Trinity. Guess what? It wasn't just the Holy Spirit that was involved in this. He was delivering Christ into the womb of Mary. He's the one that placed Christ in her womb. But let me tell you this. It happened under the overshadowing of the highest. You know what? God the Father was involved. God the Holy Spirit was involved. You know why? Because this was an important event. Jesus was being delivered into the womb of this young virgin girl. Well, that's exciting to me. And therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And we see that the doctrine of the deity of Christ is tied to the miracle of the virgin birth. Listen, if Jesus would have come from a human man and a human woman, then you know what? Listen, the Bible explains that, you know what? Because of sin, death has been passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. And you know what? Adam's line is tainted with sin. I mean, if you come from a human mom and a human dad, you're born a sinner. I'm not talking about one of these days you will sin. You're born into sin. And so the only way that this was going to work, the only way that we could have a perfect, sinless God born was through the miraculous delivery of the Holy Spirit of God and the overshadowing of the Father upon this young lady. What a miracle, what a thing to wonder over. So the doctrine of the deity of Christ is tied to the miracle of the virgin birth. That proves and teaches us that Jesus is God. Remember, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. But not only that, are you ready for a Bible drill? Not only that, the Bible over and over, number two, over and over refers to Jesus as God. So we're going to look at some of these. John chapter 1. Let's look over in John chapter 1. This is, once you read all of these verses, it honestly makes you wonder how anybody could speak up and claim that Jesus wasn't God. When we get done with the verses I'm going to show you right now, I'm going to give you more than enough ammunition so that you can be excited to greet the next Jehovah Witness that comes to your door, okay? All right. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And by the way, who is that? That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, case settled. Okay, if we didn't have another verse, case settled. I mean, he wasn't just in the beginning. He wasn't just part of the creation process. He wasn't just with God. The Bible says he was God. And so there we have clear teaching in this matter of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world was made by him. Isn't it interesting? Does that bring a verse to mind? Let's see. Genesis 1:1. I'll bet you can quote it with me. Ready? Here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wait a minute. Here it says Jesus. Well, the worlds were created by Jesus. You know why that's true? Because Jesus is God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. Isn't that something? And the Bible goes on to say in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now notice, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go to John chapter number 10. Look over at John chapter number 10. What did Jesus have to say about this subject? In John chapter number 10, if you look at verse number 30, John chapter number 10, verse number 30, boy, write that reference down. This is his claim, I and my Father are, hey, those Jews knew what he was saying. You think he was claiming, are you saying he was claiming to be God? Look what they did in the next verse. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They knew what he was saying. And Jesus answered, many good works have I showed unto thee from my Father, but which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man, makest thyself. That's what he was claiming. He was claiming that you know what? When he said, I and my Father are one, he was saying, I am God. And they didn't want to recognize him as God. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Another good verse to jot down, Philippians chapter number 2. And of course, most of you are already ahead of me on this. Chapter 2, verse number 5, think about this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. He didn't think it was robbery. He didn't think he was doing anything wrong. You know why? Because he was God. So he saw nothing wrong with that. How about John chapter 20? I'm going to take you back into the Gospel of John again. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And if you look at verse number 26, we have this encounter with Thomas. He wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared. And so the next Sunday morning, he decided to come to church. He heard something exciting had happened. Maybe I ought to be in church. In verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace be unto thee. Then saith he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now notice what Thomas's reaction is, folks. This is important. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, folks, if Jesus wasn't God, don't you think that would give him a great opportunity right now to correct Thomas in that matter? No way would I have meant, don't call me God. I'm not God. No, you know what he said? Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. By the way, that's us. Anybody here ever see Jesus? I haven't either. Do you believe in him? And God said, bless you. You got special blessings in your life because of that. Thomas was one of those, you know, he was a forerunner of the whole Darwinian movement, the humanist philosophy, that if I can't see it or prove it or experience it, then it must not be true. And Jesus said, well, you know what? Shame on you. He said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. You know what Thomas said? He said, my Lord and my God. And you know what? Jesus didn't rebuke him for it, didn't have a problem with it. How about Titus chapter 2? Y'all ever heard this verse? Titus chapter 2. We could just read it on the wall, but I guess we'll turn there. Titus chapter number 2. And verse number 13. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. This will be an easy one for you to remember. Good verse concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. All right? Looking for that blessed hope. Let's stop. Boy, if I ask this question, I don't get the right answer in this church, we're in trouble, all right? Okay, when we're talking about the blessed hope, what are we talking about? All right, what are we talking about? What event? The rapture, okay? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, folks, let me tell you this. You can go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and study out the rapture. Okay, God the Father is not accompanying Jesus to the clouds. All right, so this isn't talking about God and Jesus coming. Well, it kind of is. Because isn't Jesus God? But it's not talking about God the Father and Jesus. This is two titles for the same person. You know, if I say to Max, you know, you are a scholar and a gentleman. Then I just use two phrases to describe the same person. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. You know why? Jesus is God. And our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's just two titles for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great God and he's our Savior. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 5. Just had to look at a couple more. 1 John chapter 5. We'll look at this one and we'll look at another Christmas verse, okay? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20. Folks, listen to me. They say, preacher, is this a big deal? It's a huge deal. Now, I want you to understand, we're not just celebrating the birth of Christ. We're celebrating God coming to earth, God becoming flesh. 1 John chapter number 5, if you'll look in verse number 20, 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And somebody comes to my door and wants to tell me that Jesus isn't God. And you know what? The Bible that they carry, they fixed some of this stuff. When I say they fixed it, they've blasphemed the scriptures. They've changed the scriptures. There's so many of them that they've missed so many. And I know which ones they've missed. I'm like, hey, you know what? And I'll say, let me show you out of my Bible. Well, we use this Bible. Let me show you out of your Bible. Okay? Because they can't cover it all. They don't even recognize how integrated into the scriptures this idea of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, we must go to Isaiah. Let's go over to Isaiah. This is the one I use at the Jehovah Witness at the donut shop, okay? Over in Ohio. Was it in Ohio? Is that where we were? Or Illinois? Where were we? Ohio? I got to remember the donut shop. I just can't remember the state I was in. So. Never forget a donut shop. That was an amazing donut shop. We're going to plan a field trip there one of these days. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, my goodness sakes. How can we keep arguing this point? What I'm saying is this, folks. You know, I said this recently to somebody. I said, if you've got to spend your life explaining away numerous verses in order to maintain your belief system, maybe instead of explaining away the Bible, you ought to just try believing it. And I think that those that want to attack the deity of Christ are going to be kept very busy spending their rest of their lives trying to explain away the obvious teaching of the Bible. And that is that Jesus is wonderful, and he is the Counselor, but he's also the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I showed this to this Jehovah Witness adult man, and I talked about talking to the teenage boy, and he came over. And I said, how can you discount that? And he ignored the Mighty God, ignored the Everlasting Father, and points at the last one and said, well, you know, if he's a prince, he's not the king. So I flip over to Revelation chapter number 19. And on his vesture is written, King of Kings. No, you're right. He's just not a king. He's the King of Kings. I mean, are you kidding me? You come to this verse, you ignore, you know, the Mighty God, capital G. You ignore the Everlasting Father, and you point at that and tell me if he's a prince, he's not a king. Again, if you're going to be involved in false doctrine, you're going to spend the rest of your life looking like an idiot, okay, to anybody that knows the scriptures. And so that's where he grabbed the kid and they ran off to try to deceive other people. And that's a shame. That's a shame. I especially hate it for that young man. That's a shame. Now, let me show you one more thing, and this is how we'll conclude it. But one of the things that we'll find out about God is that he's a jealous God. Matter of fact, let me show you over in Genesis chapter 34, and then I'll read the scripture, and I'll introduce this last thought, this last proof. We'll look at some scriptures. And we'll go home all rejoicing and thankful that, you know what, Jesus is God. He's not just the Son of God, He's God the Son. Now, in Exodus chapter 34, verse number 10 through 14, the children of Israel are given some instruction here in the law concerning how they should treat the people that they're going to have to drive out, and a warning concerning worshiping their gods, little g gods. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 10, it says, "And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee. This day, behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Now, one of the things, listen, God is generous, and God shares a lot of things with us. He shares a lot of things with us. But the one thing he's very jealous of, he won't share, is that's worship. Now, I just want everybody to look right up here, and you listen to me, okay? I think that there's people in my life that I've admired, and I'm not against that. There's people in this world to whom I show honor, because I think you ought to give honor to whom honor's due. But no man should be worshipped. No man should be worshipped. And folks, listen to me. I mean, I've listened to some people talk about their pastor, and after a while I didn't know if they were talking about their pastor or talking about God. And you know what? I just want to say it from this pulpit, make it very, very clear. Listen, folks, if you begin to put your eyes too much on men, they're going to break your heart sooner or later. You know, we're all made out of the same junk. And you know what? What we're supposed to do is, listen, there's only one person who's deserving of worship, and that's none of us. Only God is. God is jealous when it comes to worship. Now, if Jesus was not God, then would he or should he have accepted worship? When you're only supposed to worship God, should he have accepted worship if he was not God? Absolutely not. But he did accept worship. You know why? Because he's God. Say, where do you find that? Look in Matthew chapter 4. We'll reiterate this. Matter of fact, Jesus is going to refer back to the verses we just read a second ago. In Matthew chapter 4, we see where Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew chapter 4. Now, if you go down into the story, verse number 8, and again, the angel, verse 8, Matthew chapter 4, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt what? Fall down and... See, that was Satan's whole problem. That's why he's down here on earth. And not in his, listen, he's an unemployed ex-archangel. He got fired and tossed out on his ear. And you know what his problem was? He wanted to be like the Most High. Okay, he didn't say he wanted to be above God. He wanted to be like God, though. He wanted to be as the Most High. You know, the one thing that he was not given in heaven was worship, and it bugged him. And again, I think it bugs some preachers. But watch this. I think it also bugs some church members. I think we all better be careful. Okay, nobody deserves worship. Shouldn't worship anybody. Okay, listen, stop walking around looking for a following. Okay, use your influence to get them to follow him. Okay, stop trying to build a name for yourself. Lift up his name. I mean, who cares? I say this every once in a while, and I love to do it in a preacher's meeting. Just see the looks come over their faces. But you know, those of you that heard me do this, you know where I'm going with this. I'll say, how many of you can tell me the name of your mom and dad? Raise your hand. That'd be you. Raise your hand if you can tell me the name of your mom. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I thought, really? I know it's Wednesday, we're tired, but if I ask you the name of all four of your grandparents, could you name all four of your grandparents? If I ask you to name all of your great-grandparents, and by the way, be careful, I may call on you and you may have to stand up and do it. All right, okay. Starting to lose some. How about great-great-grandparents? You can name all their names. There's always these genealogy people, you know, that's got all that stuff mapped out, and they can actually tell you. But most of us didn't raise our hand on great-grandparents. And then I look at everybody, and you know what I'm going to say. Hey, in two generations, nobody's going to know your name. Get over yourself. Men will spend their whole lives trying to do something that's going to get them remembered. Honestly. They will go die in battle hoping somebody will put a statue up. And you know what? 50 years later, people are walking by the statue. They have no idea who that person is. The only people that seem to really appreciate the statue are the pigeons. And we'll just stop there. We're going to stop there. All right. You know, this is good for us, everyone. Listen, I love our church. I feel like that our church has a great, you know, I appreciate people around. There's nothing wrong with all that. But, you know, when you kind of just hit that reset button in your life and realize it's not about me. Man, it's a great day. Every once in a while, I run into a Christian, I'll just tell them, they need to name you Boswell. Boswell. You know what I'm talking about? You drive back and forth. Come on, how many times have you gone back and forth to Schererville? There's a little town on the right-hand, or left-hand side as you're going north, right-hand side as you're going right, and it says Boswell. And underneath Boswell, it's got the city slogan, the little town slogan. It's got like one gas station. They don't let you use their bathroom, so don't even stop at Boswell. Boswell. Then underneath it, it says, the center of the universe. I want to stop in and go to every door and knock and say, you know, y'all are not the center of the universe. But there's some Christians I know that should be called Boswell. Listen, folks, listen, it's not about me. It's not about you. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I know you are super important, but it is not about you. Let's get over ourselves. Listen, folks. We're all one of these days going to fall down and worship only one. Okay, you're not going to be casting crowns at my feet, and I'm not going to be casting them at your feet. And we're not going to spend eternity singing praises about Jerry Ross or anybody else except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's good for us, you know. So why did Jesus, you know, what did he say? What was his answer to the devil here? You know, every time you get to the point where you want a little more recognition than you probably ought to have, you start thinking of yourself, what did the Bible say, more highly than you ought? You're getting into a real dangerous devil zone. Okay, because that's what got Lucifer tossed. Lucifer was an archangel, one of three, anointed. His entire being was a musical instrument. I mean, it's an amazing study at how gifted and how unusual and how amazing this archangel was. But you know what? He wasn't satisfied with what God made him to be. He wanted to be as God. Not serve God, be as God. And you know what Jesus said to the devil in verse number 10? Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, saying, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now Jesus said that, so I suppose he believed it. Okay, then what happens later on in Matthew chapter 2? Let's go back to Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 11. What? Here we are. Hey, see, I'm tying this back in, folks. This is Christmas stuff. Here we go again. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 and verse number 10. And when they saw, talking about the three wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and Isn't it interesting? The first visitors that God sent with the first gifts that were given outside of the shepherds themselves, you know what their reaction was when they came to the presence of Jesus as a little baby? They fell down and worshiped him. You know what? And God the Father was not displeased. And God made sure it was written in the scripture so that we know it was okay. He's God. They're allowed. Okay, how about Matthew chapter number 8? Matthew chapter number 8. And verse number 1 and 2, Matthew 8, verse number 1 and 2, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Matthew 8, verse number 2, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Hey, if Jesus isn't God right there, he's saying, get up, nope. Say, preacher, he couldn't have stopped him as a baby. He could stop him now. Didn't do it. Accepted worship. You know why? Because he's God. That's why. How about we go over to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9. So is this a pattern? This happened more than once, preacher? Yeah, it did. Matthew 9. He had a lot of opportunities to clear this whole thing up. Matthew 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying. Folks, he just told the devil, you only worship the Lord thy God, and yet he's walking around accepting worship. You know what? Because he's God. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 33 of Matthew chapter 14. And verse number 33. By the way, this is right after he proved once again that he was God. Okay? This is the whole event where there was a storm on the sea, and Jesus comes walking by, and Peter tries to walk on the water and does walk on the water. Come on, does walk on the water. Then he gets his eyes off Jesus. We've all been there. What a great lesson, amen. Starts sinking a little bit. In verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They worshipped him. He accepted it. I don't know if this is the first time that some of them really made the realization, they really got it, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want to sell the idea that you're God and you're deserving of worship, then in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, go walking out to a boat, climb on in, they'll probably worship you. They'll probably believe you, okay? And they did. They worshiped Christ. I'm not walking on water, and neither are you. I'm not deserving of worship, and neither is anyone in this room. And so, but to Jesus, he didn't have a problem. He didn't have a problem with that. Matthew 15, we're right there. Look at verse 25 again. Matthew 15, verse number 25. Here's a Gentile woman, and her daughter's grievously vexed with a devil. Verse number 22. And verse number 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And you know what? She didn't get rebuked for that. In Matthew chapter 28, let's look at that, Matthew chapter 28, and verse number 9, Matthew 28, verse number 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, chapter 28, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 17 of the same chapter, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Revelation 22, I'll show you two more places. This is so good. We're going to end this. This is so good. In Revelation chapter 22, if Jesus, say, some people want to tell me Jesus is just an angel. He's an exalted angel. He's an angel that's been magnified. He's been promoted above all other angels, but he's just an angel. In Matthew chapter 22, we see the reaction of the angel of the Lord when he is being worshipped. In Matthew 22 and verse number 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of the book of this book. And then he says this, okay, colon, two words, worship God. And if Jesus wasn't God, that's what he would have said to every single person that came down and worshiped him. Preacher, I just need one more thing to really nail it down. Good, I'm glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 1. This is where I usually am in Hebrews chapter 1 as I am chasing Jehovah Witnesses to their car, following them out into my driveway. I love this verse. They hate these verses. I love these verses, mostly because they hate these verses. In Hebrews chapter 1, they love coming to verse number 4 because they think they're going to prove that Jesus was just a promoted angel. Be careful that you don't just take part of a portion of Scripture and let them take things out of context. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, being made, speaking of Jesus, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? I mean, which of the angels did God say that except Jesus? So see, Jesus is just an angel that's been promoted up to a son status separate from the angels. Better keep reading. And again, I say, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See, look, there's where God adopted one of the angels and made him to be his only begotten son. But wait a minute, better keep reading. Again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, wait a minute, this is talking about God. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, God says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, this is God the Father saying to all the angels, you worship him. Now, why would he say that? Because Jesus is God. All right. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, but unto the Son, who's talking here? Who's saying this? God the Father's about to speak. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I mean, folks, listen to me. If God the Father points at his son and says, speaks to his son and says, thy throne, O God, it's settled. Jesus is God. If God the Father looks at the angels and says, worship him, and God is jealous and he's put down in his word that he's magnified above his name, you don't worship anybody but God. And he tells folks to worship his son, Jesus is God. Now, you know what? Take that with you into the Christmas season. I mean, you know, the nativity scenes and all of the reenactments and what we got to see or y'all got to see on Sunday morning. And we think back of when Jesus was born, he was laid in that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in that manger. Folks, that day, God came. Emmanuel, God with us, came. And you know what? He took upon him the form of flesh. He was made in the likeness of man. But he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. But you know what? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, I get to go to heaven. And if you're saved, you get to go to heaven. That's pretty neat. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for caring so much about us. Lord, our minds struggle. Our finite minds struggle to understand infinity. And our very human minds, Lord, we don't have the capacity to truly understand you. Your ways are so far above our ways, your thoughts so far above our thoughts. And so, Lord, we just by faith believe. Thank you that you are one God. Thank you that you choose to reveal yourselves in three distinct personalities to us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you that God the Son is as much God as God the Father. God the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father. Lord, thank you that God came and took upon him the form of flesh. God came and died on an old rugged cross. And Lord, thank you that over and over in the Bible, we don't have to question that. We see it. Proof, biblical proof of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name.